We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Do you like crawfish?
Nope.
Oh, weird. Do you think we're going to play baseball this year, Mick?
Yep.
With Joshua Briscoe.
This is the worst I would have rated.
I think you're wrong.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last hour of the week, last hour of this show, first segment of the night with Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News, the verified Mick Schaefer on Twitter, at Mick Schaefer. Mick, we're back in the same room again for the first time since, like, maybe March? And I feel like probably six and a half feet apart.
We haven't been in the same room at all.
Yeah, we've done television together, we've done radio together, but I don't think we've been in the same room. And honestly, I got used to just not having this much personal intimacy. Know, right?
Well, you just walked by me, and I gave you like oh, I see this guy all the time, and
yeah.
I'm realizing now it's been months since I've seen you, and I should have given you more than just like a hey head nod or something like that.
I thought, you know, because I watched like a little bit of, not to get political, folks, but I watched a little bit of the inauguration coverage and stuff like that. There was a lot of like masked sort of cheek kissing, kind of like, I don't know how that works, but I feel like that's got at least, you know, your two layers of protection and one of the most intimate greetings that you can give to another person.
It's the new age double wrapping. Double up.
Yeah. You tie a double knot, you put on double masks, and then you can smooch each other on the cheeks for a good greeting.
Yes.
The French style.
Wrap it up twice. We're talking about masks now, okay?
Masks.
Talk about masks.
Whenever I flew down to Florida, I got one on one of those big old metal death birds to see my family over Christmas.
Hey, we haven't had like one of those metal death birds go down in like over a decade.
But now it's all the people inside of it that you're afraid of, not even it itself.
Sure.
But that was a whole double mask thing, and I feel like it must have worked.
Yeah.
Got one of the slightly kind of fancier, not the good masks. I don't have good mask money. Mm. But you double up. What's been your mask go to? You look like you got a kind of like a fancy Under Armour style
Home Depot
one here.
And this is disgusting what I'm about to show you. Look at all the makeup on the inside.
Right? Oh wow.
It sucks in that like at 41 Action News, they've been very vigilant. We don't just preach it, we live it. Our rule is 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And our newsroom is bare bones. Most of the time there's like 5 or 6 people in there for an area built to fit like 80.
Yeah.
And so the anchors are all in there now. I wasn't for months. Now I get to be back, but there's just one sports person in at all times. But anytime I get up to move, and I'm good, I kind of have a office area. It's more than just a cubicle. Mm-hmm. So I can go back and forth between computers and everything. But if I'm to go out into the newsroom, go to the restroom, go upstairs to get a snack, go to talk to anybody, I got to put the mask on. And that includes when I go to the flash cam, the newsroom camera, which is where we anchor our sports cast now. I got to put that thing on and got the makeup on. There's no avoiding it. And so this thing needs wash. So this is a nice one. This is like $14 at Home Depot. I don't know if it does anything the others do whatsoever, but I literally have probably 20 masks. Every member of my family, well, my daughter and my wife probably have that many. The boys are all, it's like they're surprised we're in a pandemic every day. We're in the car. Got your mask?
No.
Go inside. What? I mean, we can't do anything.
Anything.
Abe, you play your basketball games in a mask, right? You go to school.
Do they really?
Yeah, they have to.
I didn't know that.
At the middle school level, I don't believe at the high school level they're being forced to, but at the middle school level they do. And so, I'm like, every day this is a thing, but every day you forget them.
You're somehow surprised by it.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. But in our house, we have no less than like 60 to 70 masks, which is good because we lose them all the time. Like, I put these pants on today.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's where this one is.
Hey, my makeup mask.
Yeah,
I'm on the gross ones. I'm in my pocket.
I got the hoodie. I'm like, oh, there's two in here.
Yeah.
I've been looking for this one.
My move a while ago was like, you know, if we're on the radio, so people can't see this, but you guys can see this.
Yeah.
You know, the blue surgical medical mask, that's like your standard, you know.
Yeah, I don't like the looks of those.
I don't like the looks of those either. What I bought was some disposable black versions of that, and now this fits my whole aesthetic still.
Yeah.
I've got the disposable medical surgical grade or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still look freaking cool, you know? Like, I look like
a
cool dude.
I don't like the regular ones. It looks like you just forgot when you went into QT and they gave you that one for free.
Yeah.
It's like, are you really committed to this mask wearing? Because you just got the regular one, the only one that existed, you know, a year ago before this all started. I feel like you need one with a sports team on it, okay? Or some flowers, or some sort of ornate design.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm not buying your commitment.
Yeah, the blue mask is very much someone forced me to put this on. It's what was available. The Air Lebo, we call it around here, because that's the only thing that Lebo ever wears. Lebo's a big anti-masker. I don't know if people know that.
Great.
I keep those, like a pack of those in my car for just in case I forget or something, right?
Because they always break, too. Yeah. At least the ones I had were so cheap. But and like, and I'd have to like just hold it around my ear the one time. That's the only option I had. So I'm in a QT. I've got my arm up the entire time. Sorry, it's got the it broke like around the ear. Just happened. Holding it up. Yeah.
I was actually in QT today, and a lady with no mask.
Wow.
I can't
now,
tell you.
She was moving very quickly, so I don't know if she forgot or was just thinking, hey, I'm just trying to get in and out here. Just, just make this happen.
I can't tell you the last time I saw somebody with that
one,
which is good.
Yeah.
And it kind of mutes the people, or it should mute the people, like, just wear a damn mask to save it. I'm like, hey, everybody is.
We are. Because,
There's other stuff that's going on, too, right? There's house parties and, you know, probably people that wear masks, and it's not helping or whatever. Yeah, but, I mean, almost literally 100%. I see.
Yeah, this is the first time it's been a while. I went ahead and got the three pack of the Charlie Hustle with the KC Heart.
Those are nice.
Nice.
Very soft.
Yeah, it's a good
it
look.
It makes my face feel nice and smooth. Like it's just comfortable.
I like to know that I can lose it or throw mine away, and it's not gonna end my life, because I'm very much in the place of like, they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
They're just everywhere. I've got the little things on a door that you can hang up that has like all the little plastic pockets and stuff. What would you call that?
I don't know. We hang ours on just like the keychain.
Got things. That? Yeah. Got some by where the keys get hung. But there's also the thing on the back of the door that I will have I have like beanies in or like a pair of like winter gloves or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But now the top row is just like, there's the one that looks like a bandana. There's the one that's like tie-dye. There's the Chiefs one my mom got me for Christmas. You know, I've got I've got an arsenal, and still the black disposable ones. They're the clutch. They're the clutch choice for me.
I'll come over every night and I'll hang my keys. What's where we hang the mask now too? I hang my keys on the hook. Then I get the next day. I take my keys off. Three masks fall off because there have been other masks that I've put on over the keys. Every time I pick up the mask, I put them back on. Yeah, it's part of everyday life now, isn't it?
It's the weird thing about that is that it. That has become very, very normal now. Like we're just you wear a mask, and if you don't wear a mask, you don't even it doesn't. Even register unless you see someone not wearing a mask. Like that's very much the norm.
Yeah.
But obviously a year ago, that would have seemed crazy. And, you know, knock on wood, in 3 years, there are going to be kids that we have to like explain that to in a way that, and I'm guessing that everyone who's lived through this in you know, late childhood or adulthood, we'll always have a pack of masks now. Not even because we're hoarding them, but because we bought a bunch of them.
I think there will be in three years, there will be a lot of people, a good segment of the population, even if it is, you know, you get the herd immunity, the vaccinations are so readily available, there will be a segment of the population that wears masks when they go out all the time.
Also, by the way, if wearing masks during the winter, like, just keeps us all from giving each other the flu and stuff, it hasn't been that big of an upset for me. You know what I like? I like not getting the flu. And I guess that probably also works. No, I haven't.
I haven't
in a minute.
Had the flu.
Oh, boy. Really?
I've had it a couple of times.
That dirt don't hurt. Your dirt don't hurt, Mick.
Something like
that. You don't get sick.
No, I would. Like, I used to get strep all the time. That was the one that took me down.
I got bronchitis one of the first years I was working here, and I was still in college and everything. And I was just like, I think I averaged like four hours of sleep every night and all that. And at one point I got bronchitis, and that was just my next like week. I wouldn't recommend it personally. I don't like it.
Unlike this, I mean, I don't ever really remember being tested for the flu. It's just like, okay, I feel down and out.
Oh, for sure.
This is what, I'm going to take a couple days off.
Yeah.
This is what you take. You wait it out. It's a virus. It goes away.
Yeah.
And so this has been very different.
It's very weird. It's just going to be a weird time to look back on.
Yeah, I can't wait to look back on it. Because, I mean, I wear masks everywhere, but I hate masks. I hate wearing them. It sucks.
Have you come around during the winter at all? Because when you're outside in the cold,
I wear glasses a lot, and now I can't wear glasses near as much because of all my masks, there's none that, like, take my breath and push it downward. It all goes up through the little nose hole and right into the lenses of my glasses, whether
That's
it's
fair.
Sunglasses or it's my regular prescription glasses, and every breath they fog up, man.
Yeah. My eyes are fine, so I don't have that. I got good eyes.
And then
so doesn't really...
I love stocking caps.
Love a beanie.
But you gotta do mask first, then glasses, then stocking cap. You can't go in any other order. If you go stocking cap first, you ain't getting that mask on. The glasses are gonna be weird. It's an ordeal.
Headphones are a whole thing. Can't wait to look back. Whenever you're out and about, you're listening to music. What are the things that you're listening to music through?
Just headphones.
Are you wired headphones? Are you an AirPods guy? You got AirPods money, right?
My kids have AirPods money.
You're on TV.
Our kids have our AirPods. They have AirPods. I don't need AirPods. I think that's whatever. So I'm connected. I'm wired.
Okay.
Today on the treadmill.
Yeah.
I was watching.
You're a treadmill guy?
When it's 20 degrees out, absolutely.
I had you on like a stationary bike.
I've never done that.
Wow. Huge upset.
Real thing.
Would not have put you on a treadmill.
Trust me, when it's warm out, I'm going feet on pavement there.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're on the treadmill today.
But no, I'm just saying that's what I used today was the wired headphones. Yeah.
The wired headphones, if you ever are listening to anything when you're out and about, you've got headphones, glasses, oftentimes beanie, mask.
Yeah.
The ears have really become kind of the MVP of the year 2020.
They're
think
like
of all the work we've asked
like
them
the
to
key
do.
Hooks. That's
yes.
where you hang everything
yes.
now.
Everything's just getting hung around your ears. Sometimes the mask is just dangling there. People are just holding it, just letting it hang.
Yeah, if we didn't have ears, glasses, what would they look like? How would we keep our face?
Such a good question. If we didn't have ears, I guess... Rudy had to step out for a minute, and I'm peeling the curtain back for this one because I want to propose this question to Rudy, a fellow glasses wearer like you. You guys with your bad eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The question that just came up, Rudy, was if we didn't have ears, what would glasses look like? And believe it or not, that was a question that Mick asked.
Yeah, how would they stay on our face?
I mean, you would have to get like essentially like the goggles.
Ski goggles is exactly what I was thinking of, or like a pair of like.
Even then, like they would have it wouldn't be like they would still be a little hard to keep on because again, part of the reason why they fit is because of the ears, but they would be you would just have to have tighter.
Yeah.
Maybe it's sort of really like you do the strap around the sides and then over the top like a catcher's mask.
Sure.
Probably.
With just a big thing of goggles there. Fashion would change. A lot because you'd have to get into this earless world.
Well, you wouldn't, hear anybody making fun of you.
If nobody had ears, yeah.
That's a great point. Well.
It'd just be normal.
I guess we solved it.
Like, man, looks like that person's making fun of me, but I can't tell.
I would have no way of knowing. I'm in that stage right now where I kind of feel a sneeze about halfway buffering, and so I'm not. I was gonna say that and then just throw like a sports question at you so you can talk while I sneeze.
Do you look at the light to sneeze?
It's gone away.
Do you look at the light to make you sneeze?
Is that a thing? I feel like you've mentioned this before.
It's a thing. It's actually in people's DNA. There are some people that
I'm looking at the light
that are genetically disposed to have the light make them sneeze.
My eyes are starting to kind of like get slightly unpleasant. How long does it take, do you think?
No. If it doesn't happen right away, it's not going to work.
Okay, I'm not a light sneezer. I am seeing dots now.
That would be light.
Between me seeing lights whenever I blink and being a little dizzy and feeling like I might have a little sneeze, you know what I might need right now?
Concussion protocol?
I might need the concussion protocol, Mick. Now listen, Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if you heard, but Patrick Mahomes cleared the concussion protocol today. He will be playing quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Mick, your thoughts?
I'm sure, I mean, when that was announced this afternoon at like, 1 or 1:30, alarms went off at Buffalo Bills headquarters.
Yes.
This is not a drill. This is happening. We had to scrap all our game plans for Chad Henne, and then the game plans we had for Matt Moore as well. This guy named Patrick Mahomes is going to start at quarterback. Let's start preparing for him.
Yeah, because they've been thinking, listen, he's in the protocol. They've been going Henne. Oh, no. They're playing, I guess, their backup. I don't know much about the but they're, apparently their
young
up-and-comer is playing now. At what moment did you have the most doubt that Mahomes would play, and how much doubt was it?
It was, I mean, when he was ruled out Sunday was probably the most doubt. Just because I know the protocol. Mm-hmm. I know how hard it really is. People get cynical about it, but it's hard. I mean, you can't fool them like you used to
right.
Anymore because and we haven't really found this out yet, it might not have even been a concussion.
Yeah.
And he was in the concussion protocol. That's all it takes. You just get in the area. It's like the targeting rule. Just kind of head and neck area. When you're just getting close, right around here, we're going to take it ultra serious. And they do, and they did. But once I kind of thought about it and I saw him, and look, I know every concussion is different, and this really didn't matter as far as the protocol went, but it did with me. When I saw him a minute after he struggled to get up, right? Mm-hmm. He had jelly legs, and he was on another planet. A minute after that, he is sprinting to the locker room, yeah. And they showed him taking those stairs with his cleats on, and he's just as athletic as ever, and he's yep. turning, he's got yep. his cleats on, and he's just fine. Once I saw that, I realized, okay, it's not about him clearing the concussion protocol. It's when does he enter it? Because you have to be symptom-free.
Right. Yeah.
But once he enters it, he's going to blow right through it, right? Because he's Patrick Mahomes. He's ultra-athletic.
Everything that he does.
Right. Yeah. Step two of light aerobic exercise. I think he's going to be fine.
Probably fine.
I think he's going to be okay with yeah. that.
If I had to go through concussion protocol and clear light aerobic right. exercise, I might be listed with a concussion right. For the rest of my life. I don't know.
Yeah. You sure you don't have just a eternal concussion here?
That's what it feels like,
Josh,
sometimes.
At all times you might have yeah. one. But yeah, so... And it looks like he did, and I think the Chiefs are more cautious about it than other teams. From hearing Aaron Borgman talk, he's like, look, there's some entities out there, organizations, teams, whatever, that'll take it maybe two steps a day, but the Chiefs are going to do one step a day and make sure everything is hunky-dory, and they did, and it was in plenty of time. And the cool thing is that, I mean, you can be in the concussion protocol and you can still be at practice. Because
right.
Because part of that is light workouts and some football activity. And we saw that on Wednesday and Thursday. And then on Friday again. And it's crazy how, I mean, it's right after practice. Andy Reid talked and he was in the concussion protocol. 10, 15 minutes later, yeah. there was Patrick Mahomes at the podium talking.
Yeah. You mentioned the idea that we still don't actually know if he may or may not ever have had the concussion.
I can't believe it wasn't asked today.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. And this gets dark. I've given people this warning before. I've made this point a couple times now. But think about when we learn about, like, subconcussive hits and guys who have CTE and stuff, and when we see the damage done, it's an autopsy. We don't have great technology at this point for actually verifying what's happening inside your brain. You can't look at it like your knee ligaments, right? So my understanding is that if it looks like a concussion, you just treat it as a concussion. And if you clear the protocol, you clear the protocol.
Yeah.
That works either way.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's ever going to be a way to know how, I mean, maybe Rick Burkholder will talk to the media in 6 months and someone will remember to ask that question. But I don't know if we're ever going to know. I'm not sure if the Chiefs are ever going to know for sure.
I would imagine that Mahomes himself at least has been told and they have some sort of idea on it all and at least educated guesses.
For sure.
But, and it might be, look, it's he might say, hey, it's none of your business and this is my health and that's just fine answer. But I was shocked that it wasn't asked because that yeah. seemed to be kind of the crux of the whole thing. But he's out of it, and hopefully he stays healthy on Sunday. And because my son had a concussion in the football state championship game this year and had to be pulled in the second quarter. And he wasn't sprinting in the locker room. I mean, it was your quintessential concussion, memory loss, just severe headache, sensitivity to light and to sound, and he could barely walk, dizzy. And so they got in the locker room, and the trainer was like, this is the toughest pull I've ever had to make because I know it's a state championship game, what it means to him. I'm like, no, I get it. It's not like I didn't have to do the dilemma of, like, him being ready to go and saying he's fine.
Right.
And the doctor saying, I don't know, he had the symptoms, and being that dad.
Yeah.
I mean, he could barely walk. So it
was. He had, like, the cartoon, like, birds flying around his head.
Right, yes. Yeah. There was no decision whatsoever for anybody to have to make. I mean, the trainer's like, if I send him back out there, I lose my job. So, like, yeah, no, I get it. So, and they brought him out. I mean, second half, they're like, we just want to get him back on the field so we can celebrate with his team and watch second half. And, and so they had earbuds in. He had shades on.
Wow.
And they had taken his pads off. And by the end of the night, he was fine. The headaches were gone. And a couple of days later, they were gone for good. But he, it's funny, like he went through like this 4-step protocol to get back, which is very similar. I think the only step missing was clearance and being able to play, but there was no other game after
game,
that.
Right.
So it was very similar. I think it's kind of a universal thing across all levels of sports and all sports. And he's clear of it, and now the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's just over then. The game's just done. You've played it already.
If he plays, they're going to win, and he's going to play. Yeah, they're going to win. I don't feel like that's any sort of bold stance I'm taking, because he's done that 24 of the last 25 games. He's gone out to play football.
Yeah.
My thing, what I want to see, here's the thing. I'll take them winning on a game-winning field goal by Harrison Butker from, you know, just at least as it's longer than 33 yards, we're good.
Right, sure.
But I really want to see the Chiefs just kind of come out, especially with, like, the close wins. Like, I don't know if they can flip the switch on just to come out and just – you don't have to win this game by 30 or anything, but just handle them.
I know.
Just come out, win by 10, and just a game where you never feel like it's ever in doubt. Just handle
it. I'm thinking the same thing, and I kind of get the feeling, okay, it could be a Mahomes coming back, like, hey, remember me type game.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of trying to buck that trend with, like, my predictions on 8-10 the last several weeks of all those one-score games, and I have yet to do it. So I think you've broken me.
Yeah.
So earlier I gave my prediction, and I gave a one-score win for the Chiefs. But I don't – I'm not – look, I get how it works this late in the season. Everybody's capable of winning.
For sure.
And if you're the underdog team – you're going to be built up, and they're going to find reasons why the Bills can go out and just beat the Chiefs without even with Patrick Mahomes on the field. I remember being in New England, and it's cool the Chiefs are at this point. I remember being in New England after the 2016 season. It was January 2016, right, when they played there against in the playoffs. And I was like, oh, I think the Chiefs can win this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, have you seen the linebackers for the Patriots? Are you kidding me? You find the little weak spots.
Absolutely.
And you fail to mention Belichick and Brady,
100%.
Right? Edelman and all that stuff.
100%.
No, I mean, really, the Dolphins, they played them close. They played them close
they
in December. That loss, it's the end of the dynasty's coming. It's coming to the end. It's a different Patriots team. And the Chiefs never had a chance in that game. So now all the talking is on the other side with the Browns last week. I feel we're hearing it with the Bills. And like I said, it doesn't mean that there's no chance of them winning. It's the NFL. Sure. Everything's close. But we're to that point to where a lot of the experts are forgetting about Patrick Mahomes, forgetting about Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and being like, well, that defense, right? Is it the best in the world? No, it's not, but Patrick Mahomes. That's the answer to everything.
I heard,
yes, they don't have a running back, but Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a good one today. It was on ESPN. I forget who said it, where they think the Bills are going to win because the Chiefs are too top-heavy.
Yeah, whatever that
What does that mean?
Yeah. It means because
they
spend so many players on their so much money on their best players. When your best players are good, that's good, but when they're bad, that means you don't
they
have
were
the depth.
All year.
It's
they
Patrick
were
Mahomes.
What does that mean? It's
Patrick
nothing.
Mahomes.
Doesn't mean anything.
The Chiefs have a lot of really, really, really good players because they're and you know what? Those guys are they're really good players because every game they're really good.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is really good every day.
Travis Kelce has not
really
had a bad game in 3 years. Yeah. The one thing that I think is so funny about that, and is genuinely interesting, is how long did it take for the Patriots to be that team? Because it was a little bit.
It took time.
Yeah, probably did. I don't know. I just from the vantage point of the Chiefs playing them in the playoffs, which was like I said, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was the Alex Smith days.
Right.
That wasn't the AFC Championship game I'm talking about. So maybe, I don't know, a few years into their run and everything, that there were the other, I mean, there were Colts fans or whatever.
It was at least 2 Super Bowls, though, I'd have to think. Because the first one they won, they were a big underdog and everything. And the Chiefs went from being that underdog team to Andy Reid. Everybody wanted Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. Everybody wanted Andy Reid to win his first one. Patrick Mahomes, last year's the MVP. This year he has this knee injury. Oh, man, he's so electric. And this year it's the Browns and it's the Bills and it's going to be the Packers or the Bucks or whatever. The Chiefs went from being the team that everyone is collectively rooting for to the team that everyone is collectively rooting against so flipping fast. I've never seen that happen that quickly.
So that works.
I'm guessing some of it, too, might be because of the fact that, like, obviously, like, Brady's been a good quarterback for his entire career, but those early Super Bowls were not built around Tom Brady just throwing the ball all over the place, right? So, like, there was a little bit of Brady he had that underdog, right? He's a 6th-round draft pick. He's not necessarily coming out here to lighten up the world, whereas Patrick Mahomes in his first season starter is like, yeah, I'm breaking the league. I'm the best player here. I don't need time to get ready.
Yeah, the Chiefs' dominance started before last season, probably the start of the year before, and they saw how good they were, how good Mahomes were. So maybe that's when the narrative was beginning with them. But didn't Brady have to beat Jake DeLome one Super Bowl? There was nobody going to say, I think the Panthers could actually be. No.
How much do you think that game was decided by?
Actually, that was a close game.
It was a three-point game.
They were all close. That's a good thing.
Vinatieri had, the three or four, Vinatieri, I believe, had two game-winning field goals against McNabb and DeLome, I think. Was it the Rams, I think, was the third? That Super Bowl title.
So the Patriots beat the Rams in that first one, which, again, they were the underdogs for.
And then they beat the Eagles.
Kurt Warner was the quarterback, I'm assuming.
I think that's right. So then the year after that was Bucks Raiders. And then the year after that, the Patriots won again. So they won 2 out of 3 years. They beat the Panthers.
They won out of four, right?
I'm guessing at that point there was a breaking point what you think about there. And then they go and they beat Andy Reid's Eagles. And then now it's 3 out of 4.
But then they went 10 years.
They didn't win for another decade though. They were good.
They were good.
They were in Super Bowls. They lost two Super Bowls. And they were
Giants got them twice.
AFC Championship game probably just about every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
14 for Brady.
14
AFC championship games,
and then Mahomes. One NFC right now.
Yeah. So I bet it's
13 to 1.
I think that's right. 13 AFC, one NFC. Yes.
And it's 14 funny. Total. Yeah, and so if people bag on Andy Reid, and this is certainly the area of the playoffs and of the season every year where he's had the least success. And I mean, he didn't get to a Super Bowl until last year. This is his 8th championship game. Mm-hmm. If he makes it to a Super Bowl this year, all of a sudden, the script isn't what it used to be. That's 3 out of 8. You're 3-5 in championship games. There are worse things in the world, right there. You're one off from being 500, which I think would be every coach's goal. If I get there, I want to get to a Super Bowl half the time.
Absolutely.
When I'm on the doorstep. And like I said, I think he's going to do it, and I think he could get to 500 very quickly. Then after that, with this team. And with Mahomes, and I think just the back of Andy Reid's baseball card begins to change more and more.
Yeah, it really. I do think that the conversation. I think to some extent he won't get all the credit for Patrick Mahomes looking like Patrick Mahomes because he's going to break all of these records. But I do think the back of the baseball card sort of way of looking at it is really interesting because his extension takes him through 5 years after this one. I think that he signed.
Yeah.
Let's say he coaches all those years. At this point, I would probably bet on unless something like happens and he's around. I think the stat I came up with was that if he finishes his contract, he'll be at that point the age that Pete Carroll is right now.
Yeah,
which is unbelievable. I'm gonna double check on that. But if he wins 3 titles here, and then you have that stat of the Eagles hosted 3 consecutive conference championship games. Did it again here. The only two teams to ever do that 3 times in a row is on Andy Reid's side on the NFC and the AFC. I mean, his resume starts to really round out, and the only little deficits that were left, as of 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, last year at this time, those championship game losses and the Super Bowl losses were looked as failures, right? For him, you win a couple of Super Bowls, they're lumped in with your accomplishments. Because they are accomplishments to get that far. Not everybody can win every year. Nobody has it in their DNA that they can't win the big game. Everybody can't until they do. And then we move on to the next guy that hasn't won it who's great. And so I think he can drastically change things and enter into the pantheon of great NFL head coaches here in these next few years.
Andy Reid will turn 63 in March. Pete Carroll is 69. 70,
yeah.
Not quite 70. It's a nicer number than that. Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. We'll keep talking to him whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I was face-to-face. I'm a social beast, Okay?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, here with us on Almost Entirely Sports, closing out the week leading up to the AFC Championship game. We listen, I hate to talk too much sports with you, Mick, but since you're here, we've talked about how you've got an extreme confidence the Chiefs are going to win this game. I found myself really yesterday going back to the first matchup between these teams, because last segment you even mentioned, you know, the Chiefs' defense isn't as good as his offense is, which is true. They gave up 17 points against the Bills last time. Spags versus Josh Allen, Spagnuolo won that matchup the first time through, and I keep finding myself going back to that game and thinking we're not spending quite enough time on how dominant the Chiefs ended up being on both sides of the ball in that first matchup.
They didn't even have to use Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's how dominant.
Yeah.
And then Corey Anderson's stats, unreal. I think he's the one that came up with it, or he purports himself to be the one that came up with it.
I'll let you know whenever I tweeted this.
Right.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, there's been one game where a defense hasn't blitzed, not one time in the NFL, and that was that game.
Mm. I think you said that on the air last night, right?
Yeah, because I was filming for the zone this week.
I'll credit you. Rudy Salazar.
That's a Rudy original. Hey, Rudy. Just go with it. It's unbelievable. And honestly, that's one of the things from that game that I think they probably should bring over, just because Mahomes has been so good at the against the blitz. Also, you got to pick your spot. Maybe you try it once or twice.
The Chiefs, because I heard this morning too, they blitzed Josh Allen. It was close to 60%.
I was going to say, it was the majority of the time.
It was close to 60%, and Josh Allen did not handle the blitz well. Now, since then, he has been one of, like Patrick Mahomes throughout his career has been one of the best quarterbacks against the blitz. But Josh Allen, just since that game, I believe has the best numbers against the blitz. Obviously, you know, that is, it is, I mean, it's becoming a pretty big sample size at this point, because that game was a while ago, but it's not a multi-year trend yet.
It's also funny, just because in the Chiefs game, the Bills obviously lost, and they got blown out by the Titans the week before. Since then, the teams they've played, I'll give you the teams they've beaten: the Jets, Patriots, Seahawks, pretty good win, Chargers, Niners, Steelers, Broncos, Patriots, Dolphins. None of those teams, the Chiefs, they lost to the Cardinals in there.
Yeah.
I'm following kind of your path of this bombastic confidence at this point, Mick,
because
they could absolutely lose this game. It's the NFL, the NFC Championship. Everybody gets it.
And the Bills are a good team.
I'm having a harder and harder time coming up with an argument to make on behalf of the Bills.
I am too. I mean, that winning streak that they have, is it? Going in, was it six straight they had won going into the playoffs or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. So now it's eight with two playoff wins.
One was against the playoff team, and that was the Steelers, who at the end weren't really a playoff team. They have three wins against playoff teams this season. They're 3-2 against playoff teams. Now, obviously, they've won two playoff games. You want to throw that in there as well. But the Chiefs beat, on the road, four of the final eight teams.
It's crazy.
And they're one of them. So basically four of the other seven teams, the Chiefs beat on the road in the regular season, and they lost to zero playoff teams.
Yeah.
So that matters to me, I think. And look, count me as one of those guys that I'm not sugarcoating the whole close game things of like, oh, it's a strength. They're so good. They just win by – I think it is a strength. I mean, to be able to win those close games – I don't think it's by design to have it come down every time. I think, as Travis Kelce said today, they haven't put their best game together. At least they haven't done it in a few months.
Yeah.
And so that's out there. And I think you are playing with fire when you do give up huge leads like you did to the Bucs, right? And it come down to – or play a close game against a team you should be routing like the Falcons. Or have to come from behind and have Pat bail you out like you did in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You're playing with fire there. And you don't want to continue that trend in the playoffs, where games are naturally going to be closer. But I do like that they have figured out. For me, it's like, this seems great, but I think they're almost as much like they know the formula for winning more than anything. And it comes from having done it last year. Patrick Mahomes comes from Andy Reid. They know how to get wins. So it's such a weird dichotomy. They've been so dominant in the standings and with the record, which, let's be honest, would have been 15-1 this year, number one seed. Yeah. But then, like, the actual games skating by the skin of their teeth so many times. So it's been just a weird weird dichotomy, like I said, and I'm expecting it to continue this week, winning, but then also by one score.
The one score thing is interesting, and I've had a bunch of people bring it up to me, and so I think I've gotten pretty good at it sort of honing in this way of reading it, because if you look out through football history, teams that win games closely over and over and over again, there is an element of luck there, and you do sort of flag that as something to keep an eye on, because most of the time, if you're playing close games, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. That might be reflected in your point differential or whatever, which it really isn't for the Chiefs. Their point differential is pretty good. But the thing that I think has been largely washed over, at least outside of Kansas City, is that most of those games, with the exception of at least the Falcons game, most of those games have gotten close whenever the opposing team has scored to get within one score, and then they never saw the ball again. Yeah. That ended up being the case against the Browns without Patrick Mahomes, obviously. That was the case against the Dolphins. That happened several times, that the final score was within one possession, but the flow of the game was such that it never really felt like it was in genuine danger.
Right. It feels like the Chiefs let their foot off the gas. Every time it's an Andy Reid staple.
And that part I think is interesting, because I'm still not sure why that keeps happening.
The guy, Andy Reid, is involved in three of the top seven biggest comebacks in NFL postseason history. And only one of those three times has it been a good comeback. Okay? That was last year in the Texas game. He was on the other end the other two times, and I don't need to mention those two games. And so, I think there's something to that, in that but look, we saw it last year in the playoffs where they kept the kind of pedal to the metal in both those games and kind of ran away from the Texans and made sure the Titans game was a two-score game. It's funny. The Chiefs this season have won six games by two scores or more. That's it. And obviously the last one was a long time ago in October, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other three teams have won 10, 10, and 11 games by two scores or more. So, like, inside those games, they've been much more dominant than the Chiefs. Chiefs obviously had the best record of all of them, except for the Packers, right? We were also 14-2. So, it's just very interesting. All that being said, Chiefs are going to win. Patrick Mahomes playing, the Chiefs are going to win.
I think I know that this isn't going to move the needle nearly as much as Patrick Mahomes one way or another, but Willie Gay is out, and then Bashaud Breeland, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rashad Fenton, Sammy Watkins, Le'Veon Bell are all questionable. Of those group of questionable guys, do any of those, again, non-Patrick Mahomes division here, by the way, no injury designation for Patrick Mahomes, do you circle in on any of those closer than the others?
Bashaud Breeland, and if he's mirroring what Patrick Mahomes is doing, and it kind of sounds like he is, it sounds like he'll play as well, and I think that's going to be big. And then after that, I mean, I'd love CEH back, but Andy Reid's proven, it's like, as long as you got a running back, he's going to plug him in there, and you're going to get whatever production you need.
Yep.
We saw last week with Darrell Williams, took Damian Williams off the scrap heap and turned him into nearly a Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
It hasn't mattered that LeSean McCoy and Le'Veon Bell, who is this year's LeSean McCoy, just didn't have enough left. That they Darwin Thompson gets big carries. He figures that out. So I might go Rashad Fenton after that. Just make sure that secondary is as healthy as possible and make sure Josh Allen doesn't have a huge performance there. I would love to have Sammy back. Don't count me as the ones that say we need him back. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs need him back because he had a huge game against the Titans last year. And so I would say number one for me is Breeland.
I think even going to Fenton second, perhaps, is really interesting, because I think if you're going to – I'm guessing this would be the direction you'd head. If you did have to build the argument for Buffalo, which is something that I've said that obviously we're both having a hard time doing, but if you had to build, like, all right, how does this go poorly, it probably goes with Antonio Hamilton is covering Stephon Diggs, and all of a sudden this game is 34-27. The Chiefs have the ball with 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
That's probably what that has to look like, right?
Yeah, basically, my comments are coming from the part of what side of the ball does Patrick Mahomes play on? Okay, I'm worried about the other side of the ball.
Yeah,
that's the side. Let's get the healthiest on. As long as he's there, let's figure it out on the other side.
Yeah, so. that seems good. All right, I think we're done with AFC Championship game talk. Let's take another break. We'll come back, wrap up the week with Mick Schaefer. 41 Action News next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I can think of no two better people to spend my Friday nights with,
naked and drunk,
than Randy and Jake. Rudy and Josh.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment of the hour, last hour of the week. Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. in with us here on Sports Radio 810, where you can hear both conference championship games this weekend, NFC Championship and AFC Championship game, both here on Sports Radio 810. We got 24 hours of pregame that will start Saturday afternoon. I'll be a part of that from 11 to 1, I think, is my watch.
Yes. Wait, 11A?
11 P to 1A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then back on Sunday morning, 9A to 11A. And then we'll have the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show that'll step in. They'll do their thing. That'll be replayed over on ESPN Kansas City. I'm not even looking at the notes right now. I got this off the top of the dome. All sorts of coverage of the AFC Championship game here on your home for the NFL and your home for both conference championship games. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick, you heard this Dan Campbell audio, I have to imagine.
Absolutely.
Let's play that here for anyone who may not know what we're talking about. The head coach, the new head coach of the Lions on a six-year deal, Dan Campbell.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. But none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
So that is magical in a number of ways. I'm more or less good with sort of the, taking on the identity of the city. I've heard enough of that for about a lifetime. I did. I certainly did. Thank you. I certainly did. I've heard that enough. I've even heard, I'm gonna break in kneecaps. Whatever. I've heard that. I've never heard anything about biting someone's kneecap off. Does that seem physically possible to you?
It does not. It seems weird.
It seems weird. It
seems like I might draw a flag.
Yeah.
And all his comments seem like the team they're playing, pushing you down, shoving you down, is playing within the rules. But then his Lions are going to be like just felonious, I guess. It's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
He alarmingly specific. It reminded me of Brad Pitt in the movie Snatch when he was the Pikey. And right before he fought somebody, in his mind, he planned out exactly what he was going to do. He's going to hit his jaw. He's going to pull his head down and just do all these kind of cruel, kind of gruesome acts. And then he went out and did it. It seems like Dan Campbell's kind of a Pikey.
The other thing is, again, the whole we're going to take on the identity of Detroit thing. It sounds like what's actually happening is that they're going to take on the identity of a literal lion. Like it sounds like they're going straight into eating human flesh.
Somebody tweeted, he realizes he's not coaching actual lions, right?
Right. I also don't know if it's a good look for you to say, like, listen, we're going to get knocked down, we're going to get up, and we're going to get knocked down again, we are going to get knocked down.
And
times.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to smile as we're going to knock down.
Yeah.
We're going to smile as you knock us down. Well,
six-year
it'll be easy,
deal.
No, but you're going to knock us down.
6-year contract.
We're
going
to smile while we do it.
So, what is Eric Bieniemy doing when he listens to that? Is he just throwing his hands over? You're
such
like,
a good question.
What are you got to be kidding me, really?
Yeah, I would love to have gotten just a little like security camera video of him watching, of someone showing him that video. Because I just have to think that at that point, he has to just consider quitting coaching.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well, that guy, you guys think that that guy...
Well, what he needs
I'm out,
is,
actually. I'm
what
out.
He needs is, because this is a job about titles, right? So we just got to get Bieniemy some more titles. So not only is he the offensive coordinator, he's now the assistant to the regional manager of
right.
the head coach.
That's yeah. great. Because he can't get assistant head coach. That's Dave Tobe. He's got to be assistant to the head coach.
And Dave Tobe has shown us assistant head coach doesn't get you a head coach
nope.
job.
Yeah.
Assistant to the head coach.
Clearly does.
That's the key.
That's the key right there. No, I can't imagine it doing anything but getting worse in Detroit after seeing that.
I mean, because the crazy thing is that, like, he picked that as the presentation. Like, that's how he was going to get everybody fired up. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, and listen, this is certainly not an indicator of if this is going to be successful for them or not. But at the very, very, very bare minimum, that dude has no idea how to predict what the internet is going to latch on to.
None whatsoever.
Because that, like, as soon as you say that, you got to think, well, this is going to be my whole deal. Like, I'm going to be Dan Cannibal.
The other thing is, like, I mentioned this, Josh. I don't know if you heard this, Mick. One of his other lines was that he was like, "Yeah, I told my agent to make sure they know that they're interviewing Matt Campbell, the Iowa State head coach, not Dan Campbell." If you have to be like, "Yeah, hey, make them think I was maybe this guy," which you're obviously is a joke,
yeah.
But I feel like if at any point you make that joke, you're probably not ready to be the head coach.
It was so surreal. Yeah. No, I mean, how did he sell himself to the owner? Did he say,
right.
Hey, yeah. Remember Bountygate?
Yeah.
Amateurs.
Right.
Child's
right.
play. That right. was baby stuff. We're taking off kneecaps here.
Also, do you know how I don't think it's in the rule book that biting off of an opponent's kneecap is a penalty.
We were
not.
Trying today
Probably
on the
not.
Zone, trying to figure out what the referee's signal for that penalty
That's
is.
That's great.
You already have block like the block below the waist. Yeah, you kind of go, you hit
chomp.
The kneecaps.
Yeah,
chomp,
maybe it's like a gator
like
chomp.
The gator chomp almost. Yeah. So you start off with that, and then maybe, but maybe it's like on the body part. So it's gator chomp onto the knee.
That's pretty good. I didn't hear this bit, so if I go back to one of their ideas, that Lynn, tell me as much. I think you go hands up to the face, almost like you're giving yourself like a little like duck beak, and kind of pinch twice as a biting motion, and then knee up, and then you go down and take the hands down to the kneecap, because that. Now you've got, you know, Hockley's kid out there doing aerobics, throwing flags, and just doing high knees, basically.
I think you put your wrist behind your back together in, like, a handcuff motion, because that's what's coming next.
Well,
you're going to be arrested.
Next.
So here's the thing. I don't know if the kneecap thing is a penalty. You know what I know is a penalty? Taking off your helmet in the field of play,
right.
Which you would definitely have to do to get your teeth out there.
That's a good point.
You can't get to kneecaps with a face mask in the way. There's no chance.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yep. Also, I bet he's going to be great with COVID protocols. last night we did a series of power rankings. I want to get your thoughts on a couple really quick. You don't even need a top five, but just kind of the first things that come to mind here. Body parts of an opponent that you would eat in an NFL game. Because kneecap is not on my list. That's a terrible, terrible place to try to get flesh.
Well, you got to realize I'm from the farm, and I am a piggy eater. My wife is not.
Okay.
They grew up, I mean, it wasn't human feet, but pig's feet, ate pig feet, cow tongue, right?
Yeah.
The Those ears of the cow.
All leaf. Sound bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all
but
fried.
But you're a picky eater, though, so you're gonna need, like, a nice, just like a hunk of calf.
So what are we asking? What
what body part would you go for first?
On an NFL field.
On an NFL field.
If I'm going to bite it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Of another person.
Yes. Yep. Opponent, even.
Ideally not a teammate. That doesn't seem like a good...
Doesn't seem helpful.
So,
doesn't seem
like good helmets chemistry. Don't exist in this scenario.
Well, I mean, you would have to take it off.
Right, like, you've taken the helmet off.
Does he have his helmet on?
Yes.
I mean, if you can get it off,
that's
it's
true.
Fair game, but it's on.
You are going to be ejected for this. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah,
your
absolutely.
Helmet's off.
I feel like shoulder.
Big pad. That's going to be tough to get there.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. What's left exposed? A shin, maybe?
It's a lot of bone. It's kind of bone.
What is the right answer?
My number one answer was the calf, because you get down there, there's a bunch of tendons and stuff. It's pretty flabby.
Our intent? To, like, disable the person or
whatever you want your intent.
What is Dan Campbell's intent?
Yeah, but me,
I don't
it
know.
The Achilles, because it feels like an easy, quick bite. Player's done.
My answer is
going to
be the hand, because it'll hurt somebody, it'll piss them off, but you won't come out like seemingly Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield crazy. But I just bit his hand. It's not like he bit his ear or his calf. Who would bite a calf?
I did have
besides that Briscoe kid back in the day.
I did have right thumb, I think, at number two, because, like, what's anybody going to do without a thumb? Like,
yeah, it's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough to do anything.
Yeah.
You seem like a man that wouldn't be afraid to eat a butt.
I would not eat a butt.
Really? I guess you said you are the picky eater, so.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well.
I mean, if it's from an animal, maybe.
Yeah, you know, pork butt. But I think pork butt is pork shoulder,
not,
actually.
Not a defensive end. Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a defended end at that point, I have to imagine. Nick Schaefer, 41 Action News, thank you for rounding out the weekend. A lot of butt sort of shaped things, I think. I'm rounding it out. We're at the end. I'm an ass. I don't know. I'm not sure which one. But that's it. That's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. The championship games are this weekend. Nick,
Michelle,
go ahead and
bye
say
Michelle, yeah. Bye, Michelle. All right. Bye, Michelle.